Right, brethren. 1 John chapter 4. John says in verse 12, "No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit." That's how we love. He's given us of His Spirit. So if we love, we know that God dwelleth in us, and His love has done this. His love is perfected in us. He's given us of His Spirit. I want to look at these verses again, because I think last Thursday it was pretty obvious by the time we got here that a lot of you were tired, and I felt like I was rushing a bit. So I want to look at something here and make sure I was clear. John is declaring here that when we love our brethren, it's active love. God's people love one another actively. And it's because God dwells in us, and His love accomplishes this in us. And this is how we know that we dwell in God and He in us. This is of His Spirit that He's given to us. That's the only way we would love. That's the only way we would continue in His love. I've titled this, "No Man Hath Seen God." Do you find that to be an odd statement to go with this subject? That struck me when I read it. Why did he begin to declare this? And he began with saying, "No man hath seen God at any time." It just sort of jumped out at me that this comes, what's this have to do with what he's saying to us? And I want to get to that in a moment, but I want to review something here that we went over last time. He says in verse 12, "If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us." The only reason a sinner loves the Lord Jesus and loves one another is because of God. We didn't love God. We didn't love our brethren. We were the ones described back in chapter 3. We hated God. We hated the church. We didn't want anything to do with God. That's all men by nature as we come into this world. So if we have love now, we love God and we love His people. God dwelleth in us. God did that. God's given us of His Spirit. He did that because we didn't have that before. So He gets all the praise and all the glory. And you notice there he says in verse 16, "We've known and believed the love that God hath to us." God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in Him. What does that mean to dwell in love? It means if you're traveling and you stop at a hotel, you're not dwelling in that hotel. You stop off there for the night and then you move along the next day. When you dwell in your home, that's your dwelling. You're there from here on out. That's where, unless you pack up, move, sell it, you dwell there to the end. That's what he's talking about. When you dwell in love, he means you continue in it. You know, if you look at the Mississippi River, there's all kind of curves in the Mississippi River, and sometimes it actually is flowing north. But if you zoom out and you look at the big picture, it's always going south. It may go north for a little while, but it's going to curve back and go south. Now, what he's talking about here is there may be isolated acts in brethren where we don't love as we ought to love, but we're not talking about isolated acts. We're talking about the believer's whole life. When God dwells in us and He's given us of His Spirit and He's accomplished this in us, He makes you to dwell in Him until the end. Loving your brethren until the end. It's not an isolated act we're looking at. Go back over there to 1 John 2, verse 24. Our Lord Jesus said, Christ said this concerning the Lord, John said this concerning the Lord Jesus. He said, "Let that therefore abide in you." Let it dwell in you. It's the same word. "Let that dwell in you which you've heard from the beginning." John said, from the beginning, we've heard that we should believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and love one another. The gospel, that's what we've heard. Believe on Christ and love one another. He says, if that which you've heard from the beginning shall remain, there's another word, it means abide, continue, dwell. If that remains in you, you shall continue, same word, you'll abide, dwell, continue, remain in the Son and in the Father. Our text says if we dwell in love, it's because God dwelleth in us. If we dwell in love, it's because God dwelleth in us and His love has accomplished this in us. That's why it's the God dwelleth in us, and it's by that, you know, when He cleans you, when He gives you a clean heart to hear the gospel and believe the gospel, He did that by speaking His word to you. Go to John 15. I want to show you this. He did that by speaking His word to you. Well, it's by that same word, once He's cleaned you, given you a clean heart, it's that same word that comes in an effectual command that makes you abide in Him. Look here, John 15:3. Christ said, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." When He speaks His word in power, we're clean. Now look, abide in me. See, He's speaking His word again, isn't He? He said, "I've spoken my word and you're clean." Now He speaks His word again to them. And He says, "Abide in me and I in you." And when He speaks that word in you, guess what you're going to do? You're going to abide in Him. You're going to abide in Him. He says, "As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." So when our God dwells in us and He speaks His word and says, "Abide in me. Let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning," we're going to be delighted that it abides in us. And we're going to abide in Him because that's what His word will make us do. Now, last time I made the statement to you that when God dwells in us and He's created in us a spirit in which is no guile. That's what the Scripture says. That means no sin. A spirit in which is no guile is a spirit in which is no sin. That's that new spirit He gives. And when He does that, He's given you a pure heart. And in that pure heart, God dwells. God who is love dwells there. If God who is love dwells in us, everything about that new spirit is going to be perfect. It's going to be without guile. And so He makes us dwell in love to the end. And in that new spirit, which is no guile, He makes us love God with all our heart. That's what He said, Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. He said, "I'll circumcise your heart to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thine soul, and with that thou mayest live." And He does the same thing, making us love our brethren. 1 Peter 1:22 says, "You've purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren." Unfeigned love. This is from a spirit in which is no guile. We love with unfeigned love, a pure heart. We love fervently, and it's because we've been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and, what's the next thing? Abideth forever. That word abideth forever, and it makes us abide in love forever. Now, that doesn't mean, here's what I wanted to clarify, make sure you understood it. It doesn't mean that we still don't have sin. We do have sin in our flesh. So sin's mixed with everything. I just want to make certain nobody misunderstood that I was saying that we love without sin. In that new spirit, there is no sin. There is no guile. We love God with all our heart with unfeigned love to our brethren. But sadly, we have flesh, which oftentimes reigns over us for a little while, and we don't love as we ought. But in that new man, we do. Now, here's something else I want to look at. What does it mean that His love is perfected in us? It says, if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. What does that mean? It means God's love has accomplished this in us. That word means accomplished. Listen to John 19:28. Christ was on the cross. And after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, same word, knowing that all things were finished, all things were perfected. When our Lord said, it is finished, same word, it is perfected, it's accomplished. That's what He means. That's what He means. When we dwell in love to God and we dwell in love to our brethren, it's because God dwells in us and God's love, His love, has accomplished this in us. He makes us behold His love in Christ, and His love accomplishes this in us. Down in verses 17 and 18, we're going to see in another message sometime, we're going to see that God's love is perfected in us when His love removes from us a fear of judgment. And that's what He does when he does this work, perfecting love in you. He does this work removing fear as well. So perfected does not mean that we're sinless or that we're going to have perfection. That's not what that word means at all. It just simply means when we love one another, it's because God dwells in us and God has accomplished this end in us. Robert Hawker said, all that we can call love or affection in us, either to God or His people, are but the mere effects from Him and His love to us as the cause. And that's what he's talking about. Now, here's the next thing I want to see. Why does John support this truth by saying, no man hath seen God at any time? Let's read it again. Verse 12. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Well, no man hath seen God at any time. God is invisible. God is spirit. That's why we can't see God. But we do behold the invisible God. We behold the invisible God in Christ Jesus, the God-man, in whom God abides, in whom God dwells. That's where we behold Him. John said in John 1:18, he said, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. Paul said in Colossians 2:9, for in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead in a body. That one who walked this earth, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, is God in human flesh. The full Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, dwelt in that fleshly body and went by the name Jesus the Christ. That's Him. John also said God is love. And he said, and we know God loves His people, but no man had seen God at any time. So where am I going to behold the love of God? I can't see God. Where am I going to behold the love of God? Verse 9. And this was manifested, made open and clear to us, the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin. The way we know that God dwells in Christ, and the way we behold that God's love for His elect, The way we behold this is in Christ and the works He did. We behold it in Christ laying down His life for us. We behold God's love for us in the action Christ took by coming here and laying down His life for us. We behold the love of the invisible God. Go to John 5. I want you to see. Our Lord Jesus said this. He said this very thing, this very point John's making, He got it directly from our Lord Jesus Christ. Look here in John 5:36. He says, John 5:36, I have a greater witness than that of John, speaking of John the Baptist. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish. There's that word again, perfect, to perfect, to accomplish. The works He's given me to accomplish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. John 10, go there with me. John 10, verse 37. How do we know we can't see God? How do we know God dwells in Christ? How do we know God sent Christ? And how do we see the love of God toward us in Christ? We see it by the works Christ did. Look here, John 10:37. He said, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in Him. We're talking about how we know God dwells in us and we dwell in God. He said, here's how you know God dwells in me and I dwell in the Father. By the works that I do. By the action I take. This is where we see the love of God toward His people. By the works Christ worked for His people. So John's point is our text is no man has seen God at any time. No man has seen God. We see God by beholding the God-man in whom God dwells. And we behold the love of God toward us by beholding Christ Jesus coming here. The Son of God come down, took human flesh. The Son of God, He served God and He fulfilled the law for His people. He went to the cross. He satisfied justice and made us righteous. We behold the love of God toward us in Christ propitiating God, appeasing God, making full atonement for everybody He represented. There's where we see the love of God. So when John comes now to verse 12, and he says, or verse 11, he says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And he takes this principle and applies it to us and our love for our brethren. He says, no man hath seen God at any time. How then are we going to discern that God dwells in us? How are we going to discern that God dwells in us who believe Him and love one another? How are we going to know that God's love is perfected in us? Verse 12. If we love one another. That's how. If we love one another. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us because He's given us of His Spirit. That Spirit, that makes us love. I can't see God dwelling in my brethren. He's invisible. I can't see the love of my brethren. Because you can't see love. I can't see your heart. I can't see it. How then am I going to know God dwells? How do we know God dwells in us and we dwell in God? It's by our love in action toward one another. Just the way we behold Christ. It's not merely by what we say, it's by what we do in love to one another. If God's given us of His Spirit, there's going to be a likeness to God. When Will was a boy, when he was a child, an infant, and growing up, everybody that saw that boy said, you can't deny him. He is yours. And If you had known me as a teenager, you'd say, you can't deny Him. He's yours. But when you have a child, that child's going to bear an image to the father and to the mother. And so when we're born of the Spirit, God's given us of His Spirit, we're going to have a likeness to Him. And that's what He creates in us. He is going to make us love one another and love those He begot. He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That you also love one another. By this shall all men know. How do I know He dwells in my brethren and my brethren dwell in Him? By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. So brethren, since no man has seen God at any time, nobody's seen God at any time, the only way we're going to know that God dwells in us and we dwell in God, the only way we're going to know that God's love's perfected in us is that we love one another, not merely in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And if He's given us of His Spirit, we will. We will. Now here's the last thing I want to show you. I want to apply this to faith and apply it to love to God and to our brethren, in the preacher and in the people. If this is so, then it's so of God's preacher and it's so of His people. Now look here. Now when it comes to a preacher, no man has seen God at any time. So how am I going to know God dwells in a man? How am I going to know that God has accomplished making this man love God and love his brethren? How am I going to know that? I can't see God. I can't see love in Him. Well, what does the Spirit of God always make His preacher and His people do? Look at verse 14. He said, hereby we know. Verse 13, he says, hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He's given us of His Spirit. What does His Spirit always make His people do? Verse 14, we've seen and do testify. We've seen. We've seen with faith. That's what he's talking about. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth does what? Speaks. We've seen, we believe, and we testify. We declare, open, publicly, unashamedly, that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. You know, when I came here, I've spent 5 years at least looking and listening and trying to find some faithful preachers in the area. And one thing I've observed is their statement of faith may be solid, but they seldom preach what they claim to believe publicly. When they get up publicly to preach, they seldom preach what they say they believe. They leave out things. They won't say things. They won't just preach the Scripture as it is. They leave things out. No man has seen God at any time, but God's given us a sure way that we can know that God dwells in His preacher. He's given us a sure way. God says, whosoever, that's God's people as well as the preacher, whosoever is not ashamed to testify publicly, to confess publicly that Jesus is God in human flesh. Whosoever is not ashamed. And Scripture says that no man can call Him Lord but by the Spirit. And a man that's speaking by the Spirit cannot call Him accursed. That means you cannot call His blood common if you're speaking by the Spirit of God. You cannot, speaking by the Spirit of God, say that Christ came into this world and laid down His life for everybody and for every sinner. You can't do that speaking by the Spirit of God. You mean Christ laid down His life for people who were already in hell? Oh, well, I guess maybe He didn't lay down His life for everybody. You mean He laid down His life for people who's going to end up in hell? People that's going to go through this world and never be brought to faith in Him? That means He failed if He did that. God's going to bring His preacher to say, Christ is the successful Savior. He's the successful Savior. And He's the Savior of the world. That means wherever His elect people are in the world, all over this world, all kinds of people, some rich, some poor, male, female, those that are free and those that are bound. It doesn't matter who they, what kind of person they are. He got all kinds of sinners that He's saving. But our Lord Jesus Christ came to this place and He went to the cross with a particular people on His heart. That He knew who He was dying for. That high priest, when he went into the holiest of holies under the law in the Old Testament, he had the names of specific tribes on his breastplate. And he didn't have the names of everybody on his breastplate. That's a picture, brethren. That's showing us that Christ Jesus is the high priest. And he had the names of a particular people on his heart. Go to Ephesians chapter 1 real quick. Ephesians 1. Look at this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. When did He do this? God blessed us. Whoever this us are, He blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He chose us in Him before the world began. If you have been blessed with all spiritual blessings, God's Scripture says the gifts of God are without repentance. God doesn't take His gifts back. And He blessed His people with all spiritual blessings. Justification. Redemption. Everything we need. He blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heaven, in Christ, before this world was made, by choosing us in Christ. Now that's the Word of God. That's the Word of God. The only way I can say I don't agree with that is to say I don't agree with God. That's the only way I can deny that, because that's the Word of God. And God's preacher is going to stand up and he's going to declare this, that when he went to that cross and he cried out, it is finished, and he said, it's perfected, it's accomplished, he meant he had propitiated God on behalf of His people. So what's he doing now? Where God's dwelling, where His Spirit is, that preacher is going to stand up and say, He's risen. And he's seated at God's right hand, and he has all power in all places, over all. And he's working right now, sending this gospel to his people in this earth. And he's sending forth the Holy Spirit, and he's calling them out. He's calling them out. And he's not going to lose one. He has the ability to keep his people and preserve his people. And where he's planted that incorruptible seed, it liveth and it abideth forever, and so do those in whom that seed has been planted. And wherever God's given this heart, look back up at verse 2. Verse 2, hereby know ye the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. That's what I'm saying. It's not just saying Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Almost everybody says that. It's preaching why He came in the flesh, what He accomplished in the flesh, for whom He accomplished in the flesh, is to declare the gospel of Him. And whoever does this, he says, is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Antichrist is not some big horned demon creature that everybody's scared about that's going to show up at the end. Antichrist is anybody that's opposed to the gospel. It's anybody that hates the gospel. That person is possessed with the spirit of Antichrist. He's Antichrist. He's anti-God having all the glory. He's Antichrist having all the glory. And the same is true of God's people as we hear His preacher. Look at verse 4. You're of God, little children, and have overcome them. The world. You've overcome those preachers and those hearers of worldly men. Why? Because greater is He that's in you. He's talking about God dwelling in us. Greater is God that dwells in you. Greater is Christ that dwells in you than he that's in the world. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. I get up and I preach, and every time after I preach, I'll ask, you know, different ones I talk to, and I'll say, well, what did you think of the message? Or I'll ask, you know, and believers love the spiritual things. Believers love to hear the spiritual things. They hear the spiritual things and they're blessed by them and they delight in them. But somebody who's not born of the Spirit, the only thing they ever comment on are the earthly illustrations. That's it. Because that's all they heard. That's all they heard. And that's all the world preaches, is just worldly stuff. And men can hear that. They understand that. They delight in that. Men go and hear one of God's preachers and they say, I didn't understand a thing he said. We are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us. And he that's not of God heareth not us. And hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So when God dwells in a sinner, and God's love is perfected in that sinner, he's going to declare Christ. He's going to confess Christ. He's going to testify of Christ in truth according to the Word of God. That's right. You know, a man may say he believes God, but he won't confess Him in believer's baptism. What's wrong? Something's wrong. Because where God's planted, where the Spirit of God is, they're going to confess. They're not ashamed to confess Him. And the same's true concerning our love for one another. Go back down to verse 12. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is accomplished this in us. Look at verse 16. We've known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Think of the certainty of that statement. Just look at the certainty of that statement. Sovereign, irresistible God dwells in us. Not only are we partakers of the divine nature, but God is present in that new nature. He's there. He's washed us in His blood, and Christ has come directly into our new heart, and He dwells there. You imagine that God, who made heaven and earth and made all things, God who's controlling everything that is right now, do you imagine He can come into a sinner's heart and yet be unable to make him love God and his brethren? Do you think that would be even remotely possible? That a sinner could frustrate him and keep him from making you love God and your brethren? Stop the sun from coming up tomorrow. If you can't do that, you can't stop God either. You can't stop Him from working in you. This is what He does. Look down at verse 20. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Here's a brother across town. He's got a need. He's one God loved. He's one God sent His only begotten Son to save. He's one Christ laid down His life for and redeemed. He's one in whom Christ dwells. And he's got a need. He's got a need. I can't see God, but I can see Him. I can't love God in person and do something for God in person, but I can do something for my brother in person. And if I don't, there's a reason. If a man says he loves God and hates his brother, he's a liar. If I say, how can I love him I have not seen and hate him who I have seen? That's an impossibility with God. If God's given us of His Spirit, we're going to love. He's planted that incorruptible seed, and He never has a crop failure, brethren. There's going to be life spring up and faith and love spring up. And He's going to cultivate it, and He's going to bring forth love, and He's going to make His child dwell in love. God won't allow His love to be choked out by our flesh. He won't allow it to be choked out by this world. He won't allow it to be choked out by our nearest, dearest loved ones. He won't allow it to be choked out. That ground where the thorns grew, the cares of this world choked out the Word and it became unprofitable. That's not the good ground. The good ground where God's planted the seed, where He's made the ground good, He won't allow His love to be choked out. The stony ground here endures for a time, but he has no root in himself. And so afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the Word's sake, immediately they are offended. Oh, you mean I'm going to have to suffer? I'm not going to suffer. Oh, we're peaceful people. We don't want any trouble. If you don't suffer for Christ's sake, you don't know Christ, is what he's saying. But his child, where Christ abides, he makes us be rooted and grounded in love for Christ. And when he does that, despite Satan's best efforts to try to turn his people against one another and turn his people against God's preacher and turn his people against God's church, it can't be done. God won't allow it to be done. God's love perfected in us makes a believer love strangers in another land that he's never even met before, more than his own family that lives on the same block with him. When he sees his brother under attack, when he sees him slandered, God's love makes him stand with his brother and comfort his brother, not question his brother. Many waters cannot quench love. Neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, if somebody came and Satan uses everything he can to try to offer you and just see what your price is, and offer you and offer you and offer you a greater price and a greater price and a greater price just to get you to part with love, just to get you to turn your back on Christ and your brethren and leave this all behind. God says if a man would give all the substance of his house for love, try to make a believer part with Christ, he would utterly hold him in contempt. Ain't no way he'd do it. He'd say, no, I'm not parting with Christ. I'm not parting with my brethren. No matter the price offered to part, he won't do it. Paul said, I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can do it. Nothing can do it. Brethren, I got three things to tell you. Let's endeavor to abound in love toward one another more and more. We have a young congregation. We got some energy here. Let's love one another. Let's abound in doing whatever we can. I'm talking about actively for one another. Paul said, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another has fulfilled the law. And then secondly, pray for one another. And pray for one another, Paul said to the Thessalonians, the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do towards you. And pray for one another that the Lord increase our love toward one another. Are you satisfied? I'm like Paul, I don't think I've attained. I want to know him more. And I want to know the fellowship of his sufferings more. And I want to love more. I want to love like my Redeemer loved. Don't you? And tonight, when you lay down your head, before you go to sleep, thank God for His love. Thank God that He's given us love, and give Him all the glory for it. If we love one another, here's why. God dwelleth in us, and His love has accomplished this in us. Amen.